What's up, everybody? We are here once again for a new episode of Poly-Ec Conversations. You've come to the right place, and this time around, it looks like we are going to take the world by storm, one podcast at a time, sa ating magiging kapanapanabik na segments. This is Elle, your local K-pop enthusiast.
And this is Ia, your resident K-pop boodle buddy.
We are students from Broadcast Media Arts and Studies, and ang ating pag-uusapan ngayong araw sa aming bagong episode na Taking the World by Storm ay may kinalaman sa aming course, of course, na Political Economy of Broadcast Media. Before we start nga pala, Ia, I would just like to first highlight our objectives in doing this podcast. So first and foremost, we want to apply what we've learned about political economy and share this knowledge to our audience. Second, we want to promote the importance of media literacy, especially in this day and age, where every one of us is exposed to technology. Third, we want to contribute to the discussion because it's not often that we hear people talking about this topic unless it's being studied. Diba, Ia, ang mga ganitong ka-complex na usapin ay padadaliin natin nang dumami ang mag-contribute sa discussion at malay mo mas madagdagan pa yung kaalaman natin. Most people are unaware that what they're actually consuming falls under poly-econ. So this is the right place to finally discover what those things are. So to start, bakit hindi nga muna natin define ng poly-econ? So poly-econ or political economy, basically nagpo-focus siya sa interrelationship na nabubuo between production and trade and law and government. You may ask, guys, El, ano naman yung poly-econ of media? If we talk about the political economy of media, tinatakan niya yung power relations na nakaka-affect sa communication of information for mass media, specifically television, radio, newspapers, and digital social media, to its audiences, which is tayo, mga media consumers. Siyempre, ang poly-econ, mayroon pa siyang branches under, but for this particular episode, we are going to focus on one concept. And that concept is no other than...
Globalization. So sa tingin ko naman, may idea na tayong lahat kung ano siya, pero lilinawin ko lang ulit para, ayun nga, malinaw sa atin. So ang globalization, yung pagkakaroon ng mas bukas na transmission ng information at ng culture sa buong mundo. Kung dati puro ABS-CBN lang tayo, GMA, local news, etc. Meron na tayong Netflix ngayon, pwede na tayong manood ng K-drama, etc., etc. Mas open na yung exchange of information and in turn, mas malawak na talaga yung audience ng mga media products katulad ng movies, music, and TV shows ngayon. So, syempre, kung globalization and media yung pag-uusapan natin, marami na kaagad pumapasok sa isipan. Hindi ba, El?
Agree ako dyan. Di ba nga, minention natin kanina sa intro natin. Ano pa nga ba ang mas global sa global? It's no other than...
joke lang. Go ka, girl.
It's no other than... K-pop. Ano nga ba ang K-pop? And what do we mean by the so-called soft power?
Ay, K-pop. Iba na talaga yung dating ng K-pop ngayon.
Oo, like, iba na.
Very, woo! K-pop, which is short for Korean pop, isa siyang genre of music na naging driving force talaga ng Hallyu Wave. O yung very sudden boost in popularity ng Korean culture ngayon. So yung K-pop, as we all know, ano siya, it's very popular because of its idol groups. Katulad na nga ng Blackpink and NCT. And syempre, ang pinaka-iisa, ang pinaka-famous at ang pinaka-mamahal na group ni L, which is...
BTS. Ayun.
Grabe yung hinga mo doon. BTS. What's BTS, babe?
Yun nga, since I can agree first hand na yung K-pop talagang nag-take na siya, tinake niya na yung world by storm. Maski tayong dalawa, di ba, naiinganyo tayo, makinig. And before you know, it's super fans na talaga tayo. Pero before the fangirling aspect, gusto ko lang i-point out na in the past, and hanggang ngayon naman, yung West nag-lead pa rin siya sa music industry or any pop culture industry we can think of for that matter. And then suddenly, wow, mayroon ng mga Asians na parating, talagang people from the East na nakaka-receive na ng recognition na deserve nila. As a fan and most especially as an Asian, of course, there's pride in there. Do you remember, Ia, when we discussed in our class from the Schiller art, na talagang ang mga first world Western countries talaga, up to now, are still dominant. And there's no doubt about that. In the past, gumagamit sila ng hard power to promote imperialism, kung saan may military and economic means na ginagamit to influence their colonies, but now may aspect na rin na tinatawag na soft power, kung saan hindi na aggressive, kundi persuasive ang manner of influence. Maraming countries na ang nag-generate ng massive cultural industry or soft power nga kung tawagin, at isa na dito ang South Korea.
Uy, girl, sobrang agree. Lalo na yung part yung sa Western, na parang super Western ng media natin palagi. Tapos ngayon, nagiging Asian na rin siya. Naalala ko pa nga, like, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, parang ang tagal na. Pero dati, love na love ko yung One Direction. As in, certified directioner ako noon. Tapos ngayon, syempre, so, sorry kay Harry at kay Niall, minahal ko kayo. Pero ngayon, ang mahal ko na ay si Lucas ng NCT. Pero ang interesting ng concept ng soft power, no?
Uh-oh.
Like, grabe talaga yung influence na, lalo na yung Korea ngayon. So, since na-establish na nga natin yung K-pop tsaka soft power, eto na ang pinaka-hinihintay nating lahat.
Uh-oh.
Which is, it's time to talk about K-pop. Since, disclaimer lang, since K-pop is a very large industry, very few groups lang yung pag-uusapan namin, though these groups are, we think, very essential to the globalization of K-pop today, which is Blackpink, NCT, SuperM, and of course, BTS. So, grabe yung BTS, no? Let's talk about them first. Sobrang global na talaga nila, na talagang wala kang makikilalang tao na hindi sila kilala. So, ano ba talaga yung BTS for the non-armies out there? L, explain mo nga sa akin.
BTS, yun nga, 7-member group from Big Hit Entertainment na tinatawag na yung HYBE.
Mm-mm.
And as a fan of the group for 5 years, nakita ko talaga kung paano sila nag-grow, syempre. And aside from the meaning of their music, yung isa sa mga major things na repeated din na mention nila na talagang nakakontribute sa success nila globally is their presence in social media. They've always uploaded their daily lives in several platforms, including Twitter and YouTube, na alam naman natin sobrang global na mga sites nito, and utilize that to communicate directly with their fans. Syempre, makikita mo doon na talagang ginamit nila yung social media, which is free and convenient, para ma-reach nila yung audience nila. And nakita naman natin, nag-succeed, and other groups are following the same pattern as well. Siguro, kung iisipin kong isang specific example na talagang na-amaze ako kung yung pagiging global ng BTS would be their United Nations speech. Imaginin mo, from performing on stage to delivering a speech United Nations, talagang ang amazing, mm-hmm. talagang nakakabulabog, ganun. Kasi makikita mo doon na hindi na lang talaga sila tinuturing na boy group or an icon, talagang tinuturing na silang role models to the youth of many countries. So in this case, yung global presence sila, it is obviously felt, don't you think, Iya?
Grabe no, eh. Like, iba na talagay yung influence ng BTS ngayon. Di na lang sila confined sa music, pero pati sa other things, such as yung humanitarian causes. May ganap na rin sila. Sobrang inspiring lang pag-isipan.
Oh.
Feel ko nga dapat yung susunod na tanong natin dito is, bakit pa sobrang sikat ng BTS worldwide? And in general, bakit pa sobrang sikat ng K-pop sa buong mundo? Like, sobrang OA na talaga ngayon. Siyempre, na-mention na natin kanina yung internet and yung social media. May role sila in all of these. Pero feel ko may iba pang mga dahilan eh. Ikaw ba? Ano sa tingin mo?
Siguro, as a fan, ang napapansin ko, marami na talagang mga contents ngayon na nag-cater hindi lang sa local fans, kundi pati sa mga international fans. Mm-hmm. Ikaw ba? Ano ba mga napapanood mong contents ngayon na catered sa international fans?
Usually, mga ano interviews ng mga idols sa BuzzFeed, mga performances nila sa Ellen, mga ganun. Tapos, usually yung kay James Corden, yung Carpool Karaoke, yun na mga ganun.
Oo. Diba?
Tsaka yung sa kay Jimmy Fallon.
I-add pa natin dyan na nag-create na rin sila ng mga songs that are in full English. As a fan na talagang na-witness kung paano ang K-pop ever since, I didn't think that this would happen in the future where English songs will be created for Western or global fans.
So true, like, good for us talaga as international fans. And feel ko nga din ngayon yung mga K-pop groups, design na talaga sila. Hindi na lang para sa isang South Korean audience. Pero sa international na talaga, no? Like, eto, hot seat kita, girl. Bibigyan kita ng 3 groups, Blackpink, NCT, tsaka SuperM. Ano yung similarities nilang lahat sa isa't isa?
Napansin ko na either may foreign members na sila, or meron na talagang isa or dalawang members na bihasa talaga sa English.
Yan, correct. Like, dahil yung mga K-pop groups ngayon, talagang yung ano nila, demographic nyo, sobrang diverse na. Kasi nga, yung K-pop designed na siya to be marketed abroad. And in a sense, pwede natin sabihin na designed sila with globalization in mind to reach as many audiences as possible. So, ayun, sa tingin mo ba, bakit sila nagiging global? Bakit the ginagawa nila itong lahat? Bakit grabe effort?
Oh, the only thing I can think of is more success, more achievements, and more opportunities, especially sa West, kapag tinakeover nila yung West, where the music industry first started. Pero many are curious and many are asking, hindi ba parang Western validation pa rin yung nagaganap? And this is once again falling under the concept of imperialism. We'll get back to that question in the next segments. Pero ito muna yung mga tanong na kailangan nating sagutin sa segment na to. How is K-pop becoming global? Why is K-pop going Western despite having been made for an Asian audience? And how did the K-pop industry evolve and respond to these new demands? For this part, let's discuss first yung breakthrough nila sa Western market.
Ayan. Like, di ba kanina na-mention na natin na yung mga K-pop idols, grabe talaga yung effort nila mag-Western promo and stuff. Tapos lahat sila, like, yung mga idols, ano na, foreigners, like, multilingual, multinational. It's because K-pop today is making global content for a global audience. So, ayun nga, may mga English songs na tayo para sa mga international fans. May mga Chinese songs para sa Chinese fans. Tapos, pati yung idol groups mismo, yung composition nila. Lalo na for groups like NCT and Super M. Talagang ginagawa sila para mag-promote sa isang location. Like, for example, yung NCT, divided sila into subgroups na assigned mag-promote sa iba't ibang lugar. So, for example, yung NCT 127 sa Korea, yung WAVE sa China. Tapos yung Super M din, medyo ganun yung concept nila na may pinagsama-sama silang members, di ba? Yung NCT SHINee and EXO, yung mga members nun, pinagsama-sama nila para mag-promote sa US. So, talagang, in that sense, may kita mo na yung mga groups na to, ina-ensure nila na merong member for everyone, merong someone for every fan out there. And add ko na lang din na, di ba nga, they make global content for a global audience. This means na meron din silang customized appeal. For example, sige, gawin natin local yung setting. Alam mo yung kay Young K-Girl, yung sa Ben and Ben?
Oo.
Yung, so, para sa mga hindi pa nasi-stream yun, sinasabi ko sa inyo, stream yun. Ano siya? So, si Young K is a member of the K-pop group Day 6. Nakipag-partner na siya sa Ben and Ben for their song na Leave, nakatangis pala, hindi Leaves. So, kitang-kita dito na talagang meron silang content na specific for us, the Filipino people, as an audience. So, kitang-kita mo na, ano, ayun nga, dinedesign nila para sa atin. Para sa atin lang, hindi para sa iba. Ayun, so in terms of their music ba ng K-pop, ano pang masasabi mo else?
Siyempre, yung mga music collaborations na produced because of K-pop becoming global. Can we say that Western artists are starting to recognize Asians as their equal? Most probably. Like BTS nag-collaborate with Nicki Minaj, the Chainsmokers, Halsey, and probably a lot more in the future. Pati rin Blackpink nag-collaborate with Selena Gomez and Cardi B. Siyempre, ang media may role na naman na na-fulfill in this scenario. Of course, fans like us went to social media to ask for collaborations, promote the groups under the accounts of Western artists, and then that basically jumpstarts it. Doon na nagsimula yung collaboration, di ba?
Grabe yung ano ah, yung call out na tayo talaga yung nagre-request ng mga dun sa media. Pero very true, very true. Also, alam mo ba, yung ano, globalization, meron din siyang effect sa advertising. So, yung tanong ko sa'yo, El, bumibili ka ba sa Nature Republic?
Dati, hindi. Pero ngayon, oo, bumibili na. Laking effect kasi ng K-pop.
Pag sinabi ko bang part yun ng globalization ng K-pop, maniniwala ka? Siyempre, kailangan maniwala ka sa akin.
Oo, siyempre.
Kasi ito yung explanation ko doon. Since malaki na nga yung audience ng K-pop, na-attract nila yung mga advertisers. Tapos, nagpo-form sila ng brand endorsement or partnership deals para yung mga products na to ma-market sa fan base nila. So, in a sense, binabayaran ang mga idols para iparating yung products ng advertisers to very specific audiences or very specific demographics. For example, yung Nature Republic ng NCT, since yung Nature Republic ang target niya, very younger demographics, edi very perfect fit yung NCT kasi bata pa yung fans nila, like us. Ganon din yung case eh, like sa BTS meal ng McDo and yung Shopee partnership ng Blackpink. Ayun.
Siguro grabe in addition no, like, to all of that, ang dami pa, di ba? Bukod sa advertisements, mga endorsements.
Meron pa mga, pala.
Mga award shows, mga Western award shows. Binibigyan na rin sila ng time of the day. Like, alam naman natin na nalo ang BTS sa BBMAs, AMAs, na... Mm-mm. Na nominate sa Grammys, and talagang big feat yun para sa kanila. Other groups as well, such as NCT, 17, na-recognize na rin na nominate, na dumating sa point na talagang gumawa na sila ng category for K-pop. So, I think in this case, K-pop going Western is for the reason na na-increase yung recognition nila for their work, and of course, bigger opportunities means bigger profits as well. May parang may, ano, may... Ma-incorporate din dun yung capitalism, di ba?
Oo, like, grabe yung pag-capitalize nila sa success ng K-pop ngayon.
Mm-mm.
Ayun, na-mention mo kanina na yung K-pop may sarili na siyang category, and agree ako dun, kasi ever since naging worldwide na talaga sila, yung K-pop na-associate mo siya with this very specific brand or very specific image. And ngayon, since nga, ang successful nila, ang dami na nagtatry mag-replicate sa image na to. Kasi nga, patok po siya sa general public. Pansin ko to sa mga ano eh, like other countries nagtatry na sila ng K-pop style groups, such as yung SB19 natin dito sa Pilipinas. And meron din yung Kachi of the UK. Though I've noticed na since they're from other countries, medyo varying yung degrees of success nila so far.
Ayun. Moving on naman sa kung paano nag-evolve ang K-pop industry at kung paano sila nag-respond sa enormous result of their globalization. Syempre, di maiwasan pag-usapan yung military service. Talagang mahaba-haba siyang usapan kung talagang magda-dive into tayo sa topic na yun. Pero as non-South Koreans, we can't really fully discuss or comment on this thoroughly. Pero to summarize lang, based on research, what happened was that South Korea passed a law allowing K-pop stars to postpone their military service. Initially kasi yung law, ang sinasaad ay all able-bodied Korean men aged 18 to 28 are required to serve in the country's military for about 20 months. Pero dahil sa naging global success ng K-pop, nagkaroon na ng revision yung Military Service Act. Ngayon, a pop culture artist who was recommended by the Minister of Culture, Sports, and Tourism to have greatly enhanced the image of Korea both within the nation and throughout the world, is allowed to postpone the service until the age of 30. Ang galing, kasi from that example, talagang litaw na litaw yung concept ng polyecon. Kasi naka-apekto talaga yung pagiging global ng K-pop sa laws nila, sa government
nila.
Ang amazing, di ba?
Oh, tapos alam mo yung hindi lang political yung effect nila ng K-pop. Meron din silang economic effect. Like, since nga sobrang patok nila in everywhere, nag-boom yung tourism talaga ng South Korea. Like, dahil nga, eto mga K-pop idols, galing sila Korea. Syempre, yung mga fans, gusto nila pumunta sa kung saan na saan makatira yung mga K-pop idols nila. Na pumunta sa mga entertainment agencies, like yung SM, Big Hit, JYP, YG, yung mga ganon. Tapos talagang tourist destinations na sila. So, kung tutuusin with the increased export nga ng cultural products nila, like K-pop, and meron na din silang tourism, like may boost yung tourism nila, hindi talaga ako surprised na yung economy ng Korea talagang nag-grow pa rin siya hanggang ngayon. Ayun, like, alam mo yun, marami pa rin akong thoughts about this topic. Pero since all good things must come to an end, we have to end this conversation very short. Now, Elle,
yes, so we are now in the final segment. And i-share naman natin ngayon yung personal takeaways natin as K-pop fans and as students of Polyecon. What do you think, Iya?
Alam mo, I think its success can be partly owed, hindi lang sa visuals nila, pero sa kung paano talaga sila mag-market and yung paggamit nila ng media. Kasi sobrang intense and sobrang thought out na, alam mo yun, hindi lang naman gwapo mukha yung bumibenta sa album. Pero yung promotions, yung song, yung image ng group. And naisip ko ngayon, how will K-pop be known in the 5 years from now? Kasi feeling ko sa napag-usapan natin, ang dami na talagang natotouch ng K-pop, from advertising to politics to economy. Hindi na lang siya media product eh. Isa siyang experience. And for others, nagiging lifestyle na talaga siya. And I don't think it's stopping anytime soon. So I'm interested on how it will evolve with the times. Ikaw ba, El? Like, ano yung takeaways mo for today?
Siguro, as a fan, kung titignan ko ang K-pop, titignan ko lang yung visuals, yung concept, yung sayaw, yung music, and yung meaning mga songs sila, pati yung emotional support na nakukuha ko sa nila. Pero, as a student of Polyecon and as a media literate person, I can say that I've learned to explore beyond that. Now, there are reasons why such globalization took place, and one of that is technology or digital media. Yung cultural products sila na promote nila effectively because they utilize social media effectively as well. And they were clear on who to target. So, ang resulta nun, yung politics nila, yung laws, economy, and tourism, nag-follow through. To answer the question naman na parang ang ganap pa rin yung Western validation, we can't really deny this because somehow the power of the West is still very much prominent at isa talaga sila sa mga pinakamalaking markets na pwede i-target. But we can't deny as well that the East, specifically K-pop and South Korea, are changing the game. Mag-abang na lang siguro tayo sa mga susunod na kaganapan.
Ayun, so I agree. Pero huwag kayong malungkot na patapos na tayo kasi isipin nyo kung yung SM binigyan nila yung EXO at NCT ng comeback. Syempre magka-comeback din kami ni Elle para pag-usapan to very soon. Hindi ngayon pero very soon. Yun lang ang masasabi ko ay. So,
yes.
It's time to wrap things up. Ano na ba yung mga napag-usapan natin for this session, Elle?
So, marami na tayo napag-usapan today. We talked about globalization, which is the increased transmission of culture and information to bigger audiences. Now, South Korea is home to one of the biggest media products currently experiencing globalization today, which is specifically K-pop. So because of their marketing and use of social media, K-pop groups have been able to achieve a larger audience and break through Western markets despite having only Asian fan bases before.
Ayun. So, K-pop's appeal also stems from their method of promotion. Kasi yung BTS and Blackpink, they are very known for their active promotion in Western talk shows, music festivals, etc., etc. And yung K-pop, nagpa-partner na rin sila with Western artists and of course with brands to advertise to further their reach as well. So, ngayon, yung mga idol groups talaga, kitang-kita natin na they're specifically designed to promote internationally.
So, testament yun to the fact that K-pop has truly become global today. With bigger profits and bigger audiences, K-pop's popularity has increased South Korea's soft power and influence. It has also affected not only their economy, but also their politics. So, as K-pop makes its rounds across the globe, it's become a transnational phenomenon that encompasses all borders.
And ayun, so that's the summary for our discussion, and I think that's a wrap. So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share with us your K-pop thoughts by using the hashtag #PolyEcon in your area. And also a very, very special thanks to Ma'am B for allowing us
thank you, Ma'am B,
for BMAS 109.
So are you hungry for more? Don't forget to listen to this and to other podcasts related to media and political economy at DZUP's Spotify page. This has been Elle. Make sure to stream BTS Butter.
And this has been Iyas. Stream you guys. EXO, don't fight the feeling. And this has been Poly E Conversations,
where we take on the world by storm, one podcast at a time.